The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the very earliest church fathers in the early days of the church, just after apostolic times, said, "Each of our souls contains a well of living water. It has in it a buried image of God," right? Because we were all created in the image of God, but that image has been buried. "It is this well that the hostile powers have blocked up with dirt. But now that Jesus has come, let us welcome his coming and dig out our wells, clearing the earth from them, cleansing them from all defilement. We shall find living water in them, the water of which the Lord says, 'He who believes in me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water.'" So when we celebrate the feast of the Lord's temple, any dedication of a church, all the references are to us as temples of the Lord. We were created to be the Lord's temple. But the image of God has been blocked in us by sin. So by drawing upon the Lord's grace, digging out our wells using that image, we begin to have a river of water flowing from within us. It doesn't come from outside, it comes from within. As we say, happiness is an inside job. Peace is an inside job. It comes from within. Rivers of flowing water within us. And that's the theme of our readings tonight. So as we celebrate this feast now of the Lord's temple, we look to ourselves as the living stones that create this one temple of God, what we call the church, the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. And that water, as we see from the first reading from the prophet, flows out of the temple and it gives life. That's what grace is supposed to do. We're supposed to give, it's supposed to bear fruit in our lives. When we die someday, the Lord's going to look to that fruit that we should have produced in our life. That's what the power of God's grace welling up within us does. And when it does, it ends up affecting not just us, but our family and our culture. You know, it's like one person lighting a candle in the darkness, another person lighting a candle in the darkness soon becomes very bright. And everywhere that the gospel has taken root throughout the world, life has benefited. Everywhere that the light is extinguished, then life, human life, suffers. So I think a lot of times church-going people, if you were to ask good church-going people, you know, well, what would life have been for us if Jesus never come? What do you mean? We'd be living the same lives, driving the same cars, having the same jobs. I think people really think that. They never dawns on them. The benefits we have because of the gospel. It doesn't dawn on the atheist, the American atheist, the benefits he has that comes from the gospels. So I tell people, and perhaps you've heard me say this before, but for 30 years I worked for Mother Teresa's sisters, you know, all throughout the world. And the first time I went to Calcutta, there was a car accident. And the people standing around who looked very gentle, but they grabbed that driver responsible for the accident out of the car and they plucked out his eyes. Now, I don't think anybody here would ever dream of doing that to your worst enemy. I'd rather be dead than do that to my worst enemy. But why do we go, "Oh, gosh, that's horrible"?